Very good. Well, it's great to have you here, the remnant of the church. It's good to be here. I thought we'd share this morning, just have a conversation. Is that all right? Have a conversation. And we're starting a new series because I've been thinking about what are sort of some foundational ideas around why we gather and what's the importance of our foundational beliefs and things like that. But I thought we'd just start with the conversation around church. And why church? Why do we go to church? And especially in a world where many people, you know, we're moving towards a more of an individualistic environment where more and more people, I suppose, are becoming like self, this kind of idea of, self-improvement, and it's all about, I've got so much access to so much information and I can fix myself, you know, just by getting online or just by reading stuff. And, you know, it's like, the question is, can you? I don't know. I don't know whether that's God's design. So tell me about church. Why do you think church exists? Like, why church? Why? What is church? Let's talk about what is church. Let's answer that question first. Let's just have, look, there's no wrong answers this morning, okay? Let's just have an I reckon session, right? I reckon that. It's like there's no wrong answers because I'm interested to know what we think church is. What is church? So just tell me what you reckon. A place to worship. A meeting place to worship. Okay, great. Yep. God's people. Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't come, we don't have church. If you're not in the room, church doesn't exist. Because you're the church, the people of God. Yeah.
I find it centering. Because you can get off track and half my ideas are concerned, so
yeah.
Sort of keep them grounded.
Yeah. Yeah, centering. That's good. Yeah. We tend to drift. We have a capacity to drift around our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own emotions, and it's like we need a place to find our true north. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Scripture says that by this we'll all know you're my disciples, that you love one another.
Yeah.
And you can do that individually, but as a group, when you love one another, it's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, I'm not saying that's
Yeah. It teaches us to love one another. It teaches us to know how to love each other, because the one of the places that you wouldn't get any more diversity than you would in the church. Like most environments where you gravitate around something, you gravitate around something common, and our common place is Jesus. That's the thing. But we all come from different places, different family situations, family of origin, different, church experiences, different ways of seeing the world, different workplaces, all that kind of stuff, different education. We all come together and we come and we're going, you know what? You need to learn to love people that aren't like you. Because what we do in life is we tend to surround ourselves with people that are like us. And we like. And God's going, no, I'm putting you in a place where I'm going to teach you how to love people that annoy you. Amen. And I'm going to show you what love looks like. Because, you know, when Jesus died, he died for everyone. He didn't go, oh, I'm just going to pick the people I'm going to die for. And then when we come to church, we learn to die for each other, to die to our own selfish, you know, ways of seeing things. Go, no, I'm here for you. Yeah. Brett? Not your name. Pete? Your other name?
Yeah, that's the Turkish delight theory, isn't it?
Yes.
We come here for his presence because he said that when we gather in his name, you know, two or more.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we find him in no other place than in the church, amongst his people. Yeah.
Is that intentional? It's an intentional gathering.
Yeah.
I'm sort of thinking of it like a workplace, for example, like a Bible study at work.
Yeah.
And it's still within the corporate sort of environment, but then you're actually focused on the...
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Fellowship, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
God made us in his image and whatever you think that means, but clearly there was fellowship and relationship and interdependence in heaven.
Yeah.
We have God the Father and the Son, each with a somehow role that they play within the Godhead.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's something that we want to do. We want to be interdependent.
Yeah.
Can't exist just alone.
Yeah.
So this is a great place to gather around, as you said before, like-minded people.
Yeah. We're so. Isn't it funny? Like we grow up as a child, and a baby is so dependent, right? And then the goal of our training people is what? Dependence. Get out of my house. Get away from me. Learn to do your own thing. Learn to, you know, come up with. And this is the way our families are structured and our relationships are structured. And God's going, I'm never kicking you out of the house. I want you to remain interdependent on that, where we depend on each other in order to grow and in order to develop. And but we're grown up and we're groomed, if you like, or we're trained or schooled to be dependent. And so we think our relationship with God is dependent, but it's actually interdependent. It's what we rely on each other, and we rely on God to grow. And outside of that, we can't do it. You will stop growing if you stop engaging in church life. That's the reality. You will stop growing. You'll get to a point where you just stop. And you'll stagnate until the point where you'll actually decline. So you'll get to a point and then you'll fall off. I had a conversation, because I think there's something about the power of God's word and us talking about what God is doing and what God is teaching us and how we share God's word with each other, which is so amazing. His words are so precious to us. Like they're like sweet honey to our lips. Like it's, if you like honey, maybe that's not a good example, but this is what the Bible talks about. They're a light. The word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. It's a foundation. But I was meeting with someone this week, and he's another guy in ministry, and we talked about everything. You know, we had lunch together, and we talked about our families, and we talked about our work and what we're doing. We sort of got to the end of the conversation, and I said, tell me what God's teaching you. Tell me what God's teaching you. Tell me what you're thinking of, like just some of the themes and some of the ideas about. And I felt like at that moment was the moment the conversation went from this level to this level, where I just felt blessed at a different level by just hearing, you know. We're in a life group, and we often talk about, you know, what's the gold? What's the gold? What's the thing that the Lord is doing? And when we're in his word and when we're fellowshipping him, there should be something that he's teaching us that we can encourage each other with. There's something about talking. I mean, I've become very hard to get along with. I like fellowshipping with Christians. I've just become very, I don't know, nerdy. I was sitting, gee, we've had some rain this weekend. I was at an event and it was a football gathering. So it was when all the dads got together and I was playing football. And all the conversation was about stuff that I just couldn't, like, I like talking about sport. So it went from sport And we start talking about sport, and we start talking about, they started to talk about, then it got onto racing, like what the bets they're having on the racing and gambling. They started to talk about all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, can we talk about something that really just like, you know, like, and that's the power of the church. You don't do that soul work anywhere else. You know, which you're actually speaking into the human soul and the growth, and you're talking about all the things that are peripheral, which is okay because that's what relationships are about. But there's something about God's work in us and what he's doing and the soul work that the conversation just is amazing. And I just think that's the power of the church too, is when we get together and when we do the fellowship, we're having conversations that you would never have anywhere else. And that is such a beautiful thing, because we're trying to get each other unstuck by revelation and by God's word. And when we speak revelation, the power of God's word is the truth of Jesus. What to say? The truth sets us free. And so when we come into that place and we hear the word and we hear what Jesus is saying, we get set free. Something gets unlocked. We get unstuck. And that's the vulnerability around the church and when we get together. It's such a beautiful thing. Sorry, I'm getting a bit excited because this is my life, right? This is church. I think it's important we understand why we do church, and church can fluctuate. And I think we're missing the point sometimes. Why else do you come? Let me ask another question. And you're not talking about you because you're here. But what is it that keeps us out of church?
Laziness.
Yeah.
Expectation.
Yeah, tell me expectation. What other expectation?
Well, possible expectations of what you think other people think about.
Yeah. Safe, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Well, expectations about church, right? About what it should be. You know, I'm going to go to a church that has really good preaching, and Brooks, you know, he's average, and so if we can go to a church that has really high grade, or you know, Rowan, you know, he's all right, but you know, we need a bigger band to do church, so I'm going to go to a bigger church with a bigger band. And we have expectations. Yeah priorities. Yeah, just time, hey, just where it fits. Yeah,
sport.
Yeah. I'm not ratting on sport at all. I love sport. Yeah. But just other priorities, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Ignorance.
That's a.
Just people don't understand what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we have some work to do, don't we, to let people know the power of meeting together. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not easy. It's a bit scary to walk into a church.
Oh, it's, you know? Yeah. Yeah. We're so weird.
Yeah.
Like everything's weird. It's like like if you're a person who is not familiar with church, you come in and you go, what's this? What are they doing? It's like karaoke. Like. Yeah, what's in it for me, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people would say that the church of hypocrites, that's a major.
Yeah, the church of hypocrites, absolutely we are. Yeah.
Relevance?
Yeah, relevance. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is the expectation piece, isn't it? Like people come into church and think everyone's perfect, and there's judgment. It's like, you know, and you only need to talk to someone in the room for 30 seconds and realise that, okay, this is not full of perfect people. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that expectation. Yeah. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I think I was thinking about scripture that describes the church is a body.
Yeah.
And that within the body there are different elements to a body that make it function properly as a body. And I think for some of us who feel like we're not very significant, or we don't, you know, what can I do kind of thing, how can I be, it's worth remembering that a body has some possibly insignificant things.
Yeah.
The thumb, for example, is a very small percentage of your body. That somebody who has no thumbs would really struggle to do a lot of things in their life. There is a role for everybody. Every part of the body needs to be filled. There's going to be a mouth and a brain, a thinker, all that kind of stuff. But there's a role for everybody within that body, and I think that might be something. If I don't think I can be in anything,
yeah,
maybe I don't think there's much point in me coming.
Yeah. It's easy to disqualify the value or the importance of who we are. I have this conversation with people all the time, and they go like, "I'm just doing church on my own," and I'm like, "Okay." That's not actually what church is, but yeah. But the thing is, when you're not in the room, I miss out. So forget about just what you're getting out of it. Forget about what you're just bringing. But when you don't show up, I miss out on you. I miss out on your thumb or your word or your encouragement or your presence. There's something about what God's doing in you as a believer. When you're in the room, I get blessed. And we can never underestimate the presence of God in us and how that affects the people around us. Because we devalue. People go, like, if I'm not there, no one will miss me. Well, that is absolutely a lie of the enemy. That is not true. In fact, the body of... We miss a thumb on that day. Or we miss a foot or a toe. I love thumbs, actually. I really just on that. My granddaughter at the moment, one of her ways of showing me love or connecting with me is that she'll do something and then she'll smile at me and go. And I'm like, oh, that's just gold, you know. It's like take the thumb away and there's nothing happening, but put the thumb in there, it's like the best thing ever. You know, but she's got this, and she's three, you know. So it's just such a powerful thing. We underestimate the power of the body of Christ, absolutely.
In like Hebrews 10:24 says, don't forget meeting, don't give up meeting together and build each other up and encourage one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
To join a couple of those dots as well that we've just kind of covered, for somebody who decides, no, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church anymore. And I remember I read in a book by one of those failed American politicians back in the...
That's a long list.
back in the 1800s when I was a young lad. But he talked about if you have, a thumb, and a thumb is part of the body, and whilst ever it's connected to the body, the life of the body flows through the thumb. If you cut that thumb off, for a short time, it will continue to look like part of the body. It won't function, it won't contribute. But the longer it's separated from the body, then it will do what you talked about before. It will stagnate, it will rot, and then it will become...
It'll die, yeah.
So yeah. Being connected to the body, the life, there's life flowing in the body. And being connected to the body means that life flows through you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an important message that you are the key part of the body, and your connectedness to the body is so critical. The church is not an event. It's not an event. We put on events, and God gives us the church, his people. And often many people are going, which is, an element of that, but we sometimes choose to prefer We go to places where the events. Why? Because we like to be entertained. But the reality is that we don't need to be entertained. We're here for each other. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to worship, and we're here to connect. So just let me throw a couple of thoughts out there. Josh, welcome. Congratulations. How are you going? Arden, how are you? Yeah, it's good. Let me read from Acts 2. So we hear on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, there's massive encounter with Holy Spirit. Jesus come, there's 3,000 people converted. But the church is put in there, and there's this kind of sense where it's like, what's the abiding legacy of what Jesus has done on the earth, and how do we carry that? What's the abiding legacy of what Jesus has done on the earth, and how do we carry that? We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit plants himself in each of us in order that we would carry the legacy of what Jesus has done on the earth in and through our lives. That's what the church exists for. And then we go to the end of Acts chapter 2, and he says, in their gathering, he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It's up on the screen there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which we've talked about, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We get it easy. We're only doing it once a week. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And they added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I just want to grab hold of a couple of key practices of the early church and just say, this is kind of how we roll. The first part is, and I'm for those who won't remember anything I say right now, I'll put them all in R. They're all R's, okay? They're all R's. They start with. So the first one is reading. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They committed themselves to learning Scripture and to growing in the Word of God. What happens? Let me ask this question. What happens to you when you devote? What does devotion mean? What does it mean to be devoted to something? Committed, yeah. What else? What if you're devoted to something? Think about something you're devoted to now. And think about what that looks like. You think about it all. You're obsessed, right? Obsessed, yeah. You think about it all the time. I'm wondering what you're devoted to. So there's this kind of obsession, this attraction that brings you close to it. And so it says that learning, they were devoted to teaching, the teachings of Jesus and what they experienced, learning Scripture and growing it. What happens when you devote yourself to God's Word? When you get obsessed, and I know that we're not always obsessed with God's Word at all the time, but what happens when you're in God's Word? Tell me what happens when you find yourself in there. Not just when you're in it as a passing thing, but when you're in it when you actually had those moments in your life where you feel like you're... I always say the Word of God is not there for you to read, but it's there for it to read you. To see what's going on for you. So what happens when the Word... What's the power of God's Word? Tell me, what is it? What happens?
It confronts you.
Confronts you, yeah. You like being confronted?
Yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah. I find I avoid the Word of God sometimes because of that reason. I don't want to hear what he's got to say. Because we like our... You know, sometimes we get addicted with our own devoted, obsessed with our own ways of thinking. It's like, I'm not giving that up. So, but yeah, confronted. It's good, you know. What do they say? It's amazing how Jesus has a way to whack you, clip you around the ear and you just smile at the idea. It's like, oh, that was really lovely. Thank you. What else happens for you when you read God's Word? When you get into it? Transforms you, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, comforted. Peace. Peace comes. Yeah. So we get obsessed. We get this committed. Because we get transformed and we get challenged and all these things. And that's what's the power of God. So when he says get together, get around the God's word, because I want to transform you. I want to confront you. I want to convict you. I want to change you. And that's why we do it. So that's why we commit to God's word when we gather together, because we want to be part of that life-changing process. And that's the gift of the church, is the scriptures. That is part of the church. In us, he's written word, but also he's spoken word, the word that comes through us to each other. As I said, I like sitting down with someone and hearing God's word flow out of the mouths of you as much as I like it flowing out of the mouths of my iPad. So we read it. These are practices they remember. The thing that changes, that never changes, and this is the kind of cornerstone of the church, is the thing that never changes is remembering the life that Jesus gave on the cross and the love that he has for you. And so we break bread together to remember him and the fact that he loves you incredibly, and that's never going to change. That is something that you can just 100% count on every day of the week. When everything changes and when everything's going on, you can remember that Jesus died for you and that you are worth dying for. And so we get together, we read, we get challenged in his word, we remember, because that is the cornerstone of our faith, and we have relationship, we fellowship. All the believers together ate together, and this idea of fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, which means a communion or participation. It's the sharing of something. So when we get together, we share something. We share our relationship with Jesus. We share his word together. We share the love of God. We share worship together. We share our struggles together. We share our victories together. And we share the gospel together. That's why we come. That's just the sharing. You can't do that on your own. You can't share on your own. So we read, we remember, we have relationships with the shared. And there's reverence. It says there everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs. There's a heart of posture, an awe and worship. There should be something about Jesus which brings us to our knees. About the power, his life and death and resurrection and what he means in our life should literally bring us to our knees. It should bring us to tears. Can I encourage you? Allow yourself to be brought to tears at the power and the love of Jesus. Allow yourself to get on your knees and to express yourself in worship in an outward way, because you know what? When I go to the footy and I love the Roosters, there's singing, there's shouting, there's cursing. And it's like we come and we worship. We worship. Worship is an outward expression of an inward journey. It's voices, it's knees, it's tears, it's hands. It's like it's everything. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. We offer whole self to God as a living act of worship. This is our spiritual. And so, and I'm not saying that we have to do that all the time, but what I am saying is that when Holy Spirit or you sense the love of God, respond. That is the power. You know why that's important? It's because, you know what? When I see you worship, I'm encouraged. When I see you in awe and I see you in reverence, there's something about the purity and the just the absolute honesty of that which just blesses me like I've never experienced before. Even when I'm not there, when I see it, it gives me a vision for what I should be doing and how I can worship God and relate to him. There's something about the awe of God.
So we read together, which we've talked about. Everyone's shared that. We remember together. We have relationships. We have fellowship. All this. We have reverence and awe. And we share our resources. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. There's radical generosity in the church. There's something about the way the church has blessed the world. Historically, you take the church out of the world and there's a whole bunch of people that don't get helped. I was doing some reading on this, and even the Salvation Army, we're here in 1865. It operates in 130 countries. In Australia alone, yearly, 1.4 million people are supported through the Salvation Army. Thousands of meals and beds and community. And William Booth said this. He said, "You cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet." He was intricately connected to his relationship with Christ. Even St. Vincent de Paul, founded in 1833, they provide, you know, $15 million of support to food and financial assistance. And their mission was to serve Christ in the poor with love, respect, justice, hope and joy. Christ was at the center of it. World Vision is another organization driven in the 1950s by serving people, works in over 100 countries, all driven by Jesus. Compassion is the same, supports 202.3 million people across the nation, the nations. I read this stat. By the 20th century, over 60% of healthcare in sub-Sahara Africa was delivered by mission hospitals and Christian-led medical programs. Jesus genuinely cares about the poor and the needy and the vulnerable, and that includes you and me. When we lack, we are there. We exist to resource and encourage each other with what we need. I always used to say to my kids, "You stay in the church, you will never go without." Is that a true statement? You're not really encouraging me that much. You stay in the church, you will never go without. Because if I lose my house, trust me, I'm coming and staying at your place. And I'm bringing my five kids with me. See, not all five, because they're all grown up now and I'm not sure they would need. But if we get to the point where we don't have any money, I'm ringing you. You like that or not? If I don't have any food, I'm ringing you. If I need to pay a bill that I can't pay, I'm ringing you. If I can't put petrol in my car and I need to get somewhere, I'm ringing you. And we should. That's the biblical notion of the church. We share and we support each other. We're body. If one part's broken, then we come and we go, "You know what? Why wouldn't we do that?" Pride. And what does Jesus want to kill in us? Pride. I'm all good. Some of us have more, some have had least, but we share and we give what we can. We come along and we bring morning tea together and lunch, and we have those things. The sacrifice is bigger than what we even expect. Because the requirement sometimes is we sell stuff in order to support others. We don't give out of our riches. Like we give out of our riches, but sometimes it's like we give what costs us nothing rather than we give what costs us something. And trust me, I would do it for you. Tell me, you come tomorrow and you need my help, I will be there for you. This is the great thing about the church. This is about the great thing about our relationship with Christ. He provides everything for me and therefore I can be a conduit, a provision for you. As soon as I stop believing that he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, then I start to limit my capacity to support you. Because I don't think that he can provide for me, therefore I don't think I can provide for you. But as long as I stand in the truth and go, I have everything because I have Christ, I have as much resource as I need to give to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So whatever I have, I can give away. As long as Tammy agrees. We're going to read, we remember, we have relationships, we get revelation, we have reverence and worship towards God, whatever that looks like. We resource share, we regular gather. They continue to gather. Why? Because we drift, which we've talked about today. We rejoice, we praise God together, the spirit of joy and gratitude and public witness. And then we reach out. And it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. We reach out because what has been given and flowed through the church, as I said at the start, when we read Acts, and particularly the first few chapters, what we're seeing is that the Holy Spirit comes on the earth and the Holy Spirit is invested in the people of God in order to share the work of God on the earth through the church. We are the ongoing legacy of what God wants to do on the planet. We need each other. We can't do this thing, life, without each other. We need to be interdependent. And we need to grab hold of some of these things and go, you know what? The church is a gift. The people of God is a gift. A gift from God. It's a gift from heaven. You know, we go right back to the garden. They're in the Garden of Eden. They're in the Garden of Eden. They had everything. Absolutely everything. It was perfect. Sinless environment. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We need each other. And that's never going to change. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your people. I thank you for every single person in this room. Thank you that we are the church. This building's not the church. This event's not the church. We are the church. There's so much, it's such a gift. And I just pray for a sense of calling in each of us, a renewed sense of calling to be part of your body. And just the blessing that is in our life. We've all shared this morning in different ways. And I just thank you for the power of that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we're not lost, but we're found in you. And I pray today if we're feeling a sense of lostness and hopelessness, that we would continue to put our trust in you. For you are our Saviour and our King. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.